Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill, and that's Wendy. It's Wednesday. We're at 312-981-7200, should you want to call in or text in. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Bill. Do you remember when we had Eric Burden on the show?
Of the animals?
Yeah.
I do remember.
He was charming.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I cannot stop watching Access TV. I swear, it started because we had Eddie Money on the air with us, and I thought, I'm going to watch his show. Eddie Money, I feel sorry for, because his family, well, they're a bunch of jerks.
Are they? Yeah. But they purposely found a guy, like they were looking for the new generation's Ozzy Osbourne in the family, right? That's what their goal was with this?
Yeah, but Ozzy's family ran better.
Yeah, yeah.
If you can believe it.
Yeah. So what else is on the station other than this, though?
I just watched Eddie Money, and then as we're watching Eddie Money, you see promos for other things, like they have a Yardbird special, they have a Bob Dylan special.
This is your channel.
Oh, my God. Last night I watched Dan Rather with the big interview. How are we going on that? Is he going to do an interview with us, Jasmine? Have you reached out to him?
Still working on that.
Darn it.
We'll get you Dan Rather.
He interviewed Jack White. I mean,
it's a strange mismatch, isn't it?
I love seeing Dan Rather with these iconic rock and rollers.
All right, so from what I know of Dan Rather, he's an extremely worldly guy and a great interviewer, but does he seem like somebody who really knows the roots of all these musicians?
Yes.
Or is he? Yeah, he does? Wow.
It's amazing to me. It's like, you know, he mentions back in the day, music changed the world. What do you want your message to be? And Jack White was like, wow, that's a great question.
Yeah, solid question.
And then at the end, Jack White's wrapping it up and he's like, it was an honor to be part. I mean, it was just, I'm telling you, this Dan Rather, the big interview, please look it up and check
show.
Your local listing in your grocer's freezer and please watch it on Access TV.
Uses directed.
Four out of five Dennis Survey.
Right, you got to say that too.
But I feel sorry for Eddie Money, if I can just really quickly say that.
Why?
Well, he's doing a lot. He's working really hard, making money, doing a lot of gigs, and he still sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
He had 20-some number one hits, as we established when we talked to him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he knows what he's doing, but his family, they're a bunch of freeloaders. That's all I can tell you.
I know he's married, but his kids are of what age?
25 to 35.
And still hanging around the house?
Yeah, he has one son, his oldest, who's a bodybuilder, who I've never seen such a beer gut on a bodybuilder. I mean, he's got arms like you wouldn't believe, but he's wearing like this little short midriff shirt.
Oh, nice.
And he keeps pulling it down. It's like, dude, you're trying to train your dad because he needs to lose weight? It's just weird. The daughter,
this is Eddie Money's son.
Yes,
too much
oldest.
Money. That's his name. Not quite as famous as his dad.
He's got, I think, three or four boys and a daughter who looks just like the mother. And the daughter keeps getting in car accidents. I can't tell you how sorry. It's like Eddie Money's the only one I like on that show.
But they want a family. I mean, obviously, they want somebody with problems. It's more interesting,
they could have come and followed our family. Although it makes me feel better about our family, because my kids aren't as old where they can crash a car, they can do things like, you know, alcoholism.
When the Osbournes first started, I loved the first 2 weeks. And then by the third week, it was driving me crazy, because I went, boy, this started out fun, and it stopped being fun, because I couldn't understand a word he was saying. And I know everybody knows that if you ever tried to watch him. But you know who I respected the most, and I didn't even know this was going on when I was watching it, is their
daughter who didn't participate.
Who just said, oh no, I'm not going to get involved in this. And she stayed as far. They didn't even reference her. Like, there were never even times that I saw the show where they'd talk about her. She just went, if you guys want to do this, have at it. I'm going to be far away from this.
I could have sworn that daughter was on maybe one or two episodes, and they may have blurred her face. I can't even
remember.
I think so.
Wow.
I can't really remember.
Wow.
But this Eddie Money thing, it's like, all I can tell you in a nutshell is Eddie Money goes to see his doctor, and he's a little overweight and out of shape.
Yeah.
So they're like, you know, you need to work. The doctor, who looks completely plastic surgified, is saying, you know, you really should work out a little bit and lose a little weight. So Eddie Money is trying to work out with his son, who's a bodybuilder with a gut.
Yeah.
And his other kids are taking all of his cakes and candies and cookies and throwing them out. And then Eddie comes back and buys more.
Yeah.
And it's a bunch of Eddie Money doing dad jokes and winking at the camera.
Oh. I can see why you've fallen in love with it.
Well, that's where I started watching it, and now it's like an accident, and it's like, oh, I got to watch. But I like the other programming on that station way better.
Way better than this? Does it have the element that I see in every one of the reality shows where it's all just contrived situations, where even though it's reality, in italics, the producers have decided we have to give them some crazy problem of the week or two problems of the week for them to work on?
The acting's horrible. I mean,
of
you
course.
But I mean, there's one guy that one of his sons is just like really kind of nonchalant. And my son, Michael, goes, he's not acting. I go, that is the one I like the best.
Really?
Because he's just being himself.
Yeah.
The other people are like, oh, my God, I backed into a wall and look at the car. I got to get it fixed before dad comes home from Cabo because he's hanging out with Sammy Hagar.
See, you just talked me out of it. I was like on the brink of, okay, maybe I'll watch it. But
you
as soon as I hear
episode.
That goes on, I'm like, ah. I've always believed, and I mean, we haven't had reality television our whole lives, but over the last decade or so, that we're not built to be on reality television. When I say we, I mean the human race. Because it's too much to have cameras on you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You're going to implode. Nobody is set up for that. Nobody.
It's just,
You know when people come over to your house to visit, you go, well, they'll be here for 3 hours, so let's hope that these go well, right?
Well, right. You're on your best behavior.
Right.
Your house is the cleanest it's ever been.
But when it's 24 hours a day, you can't allocate the time that way because you go, well, there's no downtime. They could be shooting, and they want to catch you at your worst.
Right.
So
if it was truly reality, I would enjoy it. And some, I know you laugh at me because I like Big Brother. I like Julie Chen. That's what it is. And sometimes, I mean, there are cameras in every room all the time. So at some point, they kind of forget that there are cameras rolling.
Right.
So right. You see some strife.
I'm sure of it.
This is the Eddie Money Show is really a bunch of acting that is not working.
And they all try to get, I mean, sometimes it's natural in a family. Other times, like on Big Brother, it's not. They try to find people who are of different mindsets.
Personalities,
you know,
yeah.
Because they want...
Friction.
Yeah, that's what they want. They want to see trouble.
Well, everybody's mean to Eddie Money. That's all I'm saying.
He says,
I feel sorry for him.
They're all living on his dime, though.
I know.
It's awful.
And that's what he's saying. At one point when his daughter wrecked the car, even he overreacted. He goes, oh, my God, this is the third car you wrecked. And then they flash to his wife, who's very attractive, and says, it's actually the fifth car, but we won't tell her. And then Eddie just says, you know, that's it. I got to go to work and make a paycheck to support all you guys. And,
right.
You know, he says it as a joke. It's totally true.
It must be true.
But don't you, I mean, your account of it sounds to me like it's all written.
It sure seems like it's written,
I don't know
and
if it's
I wish
written,
it wasn't.
But if it's not, I mean, word for word, I doubt that it's written, but somebody's coming up with crazy hijinks for every episode.
It sure seems like it. And if it would, like when it's real, when there isn't like a something going on, like, oh, look at the car, and then the brother goes, oh, sis, that's a doozy. It just seems very...
Whoa.
But if it was just like, oh, God, you guys, you know what I did?
Yeah.
You don't have to act because you're really going, oh, my God, this is the fifth car I just messed up. Dad's going to kill me. She's kind of laughing about it like, oh, should I tell him? It, you know, it just seems.
But this reminds me of a couple months ago when Omarosa is on with this guy Ross during one of the Celebrity Big Brother episodes. And she's whispering to him about what really went on in the White House. And you go, why are you whispering? There's cameras and microphones everywhere, and you're only doing this because they want you to do this. So you never feel manipulated by any of this?
I do. I didn't want to. I still can't stop watching it. We have, you know, we've set the whatever it is, the timer to record the series.
DVR?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so if there's one on tap, I'll go, a little more money, and they're like, yeah, all right. So we watch it.
In that guilty tone.
Kind of.
All right,
because
put it on.
I'd rather watch the Yardbird special and Bob Dylan, A Celebration of Coming Home, and there are just some really that, I'm telling you, please look into Dan Rather in the big interview, because he was with
that
Robert
one sounds
Plant.
Good to me.
Oh my God, it's just, you
that
don't
does sound
picture
good.
Him being like that,
right.
And he's into it.
Yeah, he's that good.
Super cool.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then there's a lot to discuss, so stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Did you ever see a picture of two celebrities that you say to yourself, wow, I didn't know those guys would ever get to know each other. I didn't know if they'd get along. I didn't even know if they were alive during the same period.
Like Jimi Hendrix and the Monkees, that would be something like
it's
that.
It's in that vein. Like the first time somebody told you that story, that, now I'm going to get the chronological order here, that Jimi Hendrix opened for the Monkees,
yep.
You went, oh no, that never happened.
Right.
But it did happen.
And what happened in the green room? Because that's what I would have
What
liked.
Was that discussion like?
I'll bet you Mickey overacted in front of him.
Yeah, probably.
He showed off a little bit.
I could see that. my all-time favorite one, and they made a movie about this a couple of years ago, is that picture of Elvis Presley and Richard Nixon together.
I love it.
The first time I ever saw that picture, I stared at it for 5 minutes. I went,
I know.
Wait.
And now when you come across it now, don't you still stare
every
at it?
Every time.
I know.
Because you say, those are people from different galaxies. It's like the weirdest crossover episode. Remember like when the cast of Bewitched was on the Flintstones?
Yes.
And you go, people from Bewitched wouldn't hang out with the Flintstones.
Right.
That's nuts.
The world's collided.
Yeah.
Though.
Well, a picture has been unearthed of George H.W. Bush, who's been in the news a lot this past week with the passing of Barbara Bush and then his own sad health issues. The picture is of a young George Bush and the Bambino, Babe Ruth.
Really?
Yeah. I love this. I'll show you the picture. And Jazz, I'm guessing we can get this up on our Facebook page fairly soon. Here's a picture of a very young George H.W. Bush attending a baseball game with Babe Ruth there, and Babe Ruth is handing him some sort of an award or a plaque or a trophy.
No, Bush is behind him.
No, this is, that's Bush, the player, the guy in the baseball uniform.
What?
Not that
really?
Guy. Yeah, it's that guy.
Oh, my God. Well, that's weird.
Isn't that crazy? I love this picture.
The guy standing behind.
He looks like him.
Like H.W.
I wonder if that's not a relative, because he does look a lot like him. That might be his dad or his uncle or something.
Bush is in the baseball uniform?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the captain of the team.
For Yale. Is it the Yale Elis, Steve? I want to say it's the Elis, but I could be wrong.
No, I don't. That doesn't sound
that's
familiar.
That's a very bad
nickname?
Yeah.
I think that's the name of their team, I think. I'll look it up, or you can look it up, but I'm pretty sure it is.
I hope you're wrong. I don't know why.
I do, too. Because if you're good enough to play college baseball, you should have a better team name than the Elis. Does it say? Not the Eloy. That's from Time Machine, which is what this picture looks like.
It does.
So the story has come out. It seems it says, well, first of all.
Bulldogs.
Oh, is it the Eli Bulldogs? Why did I think it was the Elis?
There is an Eli that popped up.
Oh, there was?
I don't know what it.
A player, maybe?
No.
Eli Wallach played before he made the cotton gin.
Yes. Eli Whitney, not Eli Wallach.
Oh, damn it. Who's although Eli Wallach?
Yeah, he's an actor.
Oh,
although
God.
That would be a great picture of Eli Wallach and Eli Whitney together. One of them taking an acting class, the other inventing the cotton gin. I would pay serious money for that picture.
I got my Eli's mixed up.
That happens, Wendy. It happens to all of us. So
it says here the school was renamed for the Welsh merchant Elihu Yale.
Oh, interesting.
In 1718.
I'm almost
it wouldn't
positive,
be the name of the baseball team.
I think some of their, I'm almost positive some of their athletes, some of their teams had that nickname.
You know, but, Bill will not let this rest until he determines that he's right in some way.
I think it's a nickname right. For the students. Oh, you're an Eli.
Is that what it is?
That's what
right,
I'm reading.
That could be what it is. That might be it.
We'll investigate it further and get back to us tomorrow.
I've got Peter Carl and the Channel 7 investigative team working on it right now, Wendy. We'll get to the bottom of this. It seems like a lot of people in the U.S. are hungry for good news about George H.W. Bush, it says here in the story. So when a photograph of the 41st president surfaced on Twitter on Monday evening, it quickly went viral. Presidential historian and author of the upcoming book, Presidents of War, that's Michael Beschloss, shared a photograph he has of George H.W. Bush meeting Babe Ruth. It all took place 70 years ago.
He's a Park Forest boy, I think, Michael Beschloss.
Oh, is he?
South
He's
Suburban.
From here?
Yeah.
Did you ever talk to him?
I did a couple times. We talked about South Suburbs. But he's got a great Twitter feed. He always puts up some great pictures like that.
And his other books have done pretty well, right?
Oh,
Steve,
yeah,
I've read
he's
I've
renowned.
Seen his name
absolutely
on the New York Times bestseller list a couple times. So you have a field that is not named here. I don't know why they're not telling you exactly which baseball field it is. It's at, but a very trim, thin Babe Ruth, which I'm not used to seeing. The Babe Ruth in my head.
He let himself go? Like Elvis, the Elvis years of Babe Ruth?
I don't know that he let himself go, but he had sort of a bulbous-shaped body. You know, he was kind of round, you know, but not fat, just kind of
rotund.
Yeah.
He was big,
yeah.
Stocky.
Yeah.
Because he had just a big, fat face.
Yeah.
His face was like a pumpkin.
Well, yeah, I thought we could put it in a nicer way, Mary.
I apologize to all Babe Ruth's family listening to us fat shame him.
That's
right now.
That's what Mary would have said to him if she met him. Your face is so fat.
No, it was just round.
Yeah, it was.
Which made him look, you know, like you described him.
But in this photograph... Look at how thin he looks. He looks fit.
That's why I didn't recognize him.
Amazing in this
picture. He looks good in a suit, better than a uniform.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See, the uniform made his butt look big.
Now, that's ironic because the Yankees have the pinstripes, which are vertical, and you would think would be more trimming, more
slimming.
Yeah,
but they're just thin little pinstripes since pin. I mean, if they were wider stripes.
That might have been better for him.
Yeah. And the darker colors. It should have been black pants with the pinstripes.
Right.
That would have been much more slimming.
No, you're right. You're right.
Vic wants to talk to us. Hi, Vic. Real quickly here.
Hello. I can point out the Eli issue. Yale University was founded by Elihu Yale, who I believe is of the Yale Lock Company. That's why the students are called Elis. I believe the team name is Bulldogs.
Yes.
Steve pointed that out a little bit earlier. That all makes sense. But it's the Eli Lock Company?
Yale Lock Company.
Yale Lock Company. Okay, I've heard of that.
The founder's name was Elihu, E-L-I-H-U, Yale.
Who? Yale.
That's who?
Yale.
Thank you, Wendy. That was beautiful.
Thank you, Vic.
Thank you, Vic. So if you want to see this picture, we'll put it on our Facebook page of Babe Ruth and George H.W. Bush and Whitney and Eli Wallach.
We'll also put it on Instagram.
Yeah, right. Again, Instagram.
Hey, we're on Instagram. Thank you, Jazzy.
Thanks, Jazz.
Stephen Tobolowsky, there's a picture of him up on our Instagram, and you can find the interview. The interview is not there, though. You got to follow a link.
Right. The follow link a link. Is in the bio, and it'll take
it
you directly.
Always stinks.
Stink, stink.
The flavor of Bill.
Wherever it grows. All right, we'll take a quick break, because we need one, that's why. And then you'll get some news and then more show. It's Bill
and
Wendy. I'll
see the world.
Thank you, Steve. More after this. Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. How do you reach us? Well, 312-981-7200 is the best way. That's the call or the text. Either will work.
And I would hope that somebody would call or text right now, because I saw something yesterday on I-88, the Ronald Reagan, if you will, that I never saw before.
What's this?
You know how they have the signs over the expressway, if there's an amber alert or something, or slowdowns, or, you know, left lane closed?
Sometimes they'll post how many people have perished in auto accidents, and that's always jarring to
It
see
really
that.
Is. Well, I saw something yesterday that was called the Silver Alert, and I have to be 100% honest with you, I thought it was a typo, because as I was looking at it, it said Silver Alert, and then it said a silver Chevy Equinox with license plate, so I'm like, they meant to put Amber Alert.
Oh. And they went just, with the car color.
Yeah, they screwed up.
Oh.
And then Michael, my son, says to me, no, Mom, it's a Silver Alert. It means when someone who has Alzheimer's or dementia or an elderly person has gone missing. And I'm like, when did this start? And Michael said, oh, I've seen a couple of them, mainly on I-88, because he goes to COD, college.
Yeah.
But now, I guess this happened in 2016, as of January 1st.
That's the first I've heard of this.
Never saw it before yesterday.
So they will post it on the highway, as you mentioned, but do you also get, because I've been with you when your phone buzzes.
For the Amber Alert. Every time those Amber Alerts come over on my phone, it takes control, and it makes me very nervous.
Sure.
And I just worry so much for these children.
Yeah.
And now I feel bad that I didn't get a Silver Alert, because doesn't it matter that these poor older people who may have dementia or Alzheimer's have driven off somewhere?
Oh, yeah, it must be terrifying. Yeah.
I did not get an alert, but as of January 1st of 2016 in Illinois, Illinois joined 41 other states with Silver Alerts, similar to Amber Alerts for missing children. How come you nor I knew
I never
nothing
heard of it
about
until just
this?
Now. I also saw a story, I want to say on Monday, it was either Sunday or Monday, about somebody with Alzheimer's and they couldn't find them and they somehow used Pokemon Go to find him. But and I watched the story, and then when it was all done, I still didn't fully, because I don't understand fully what Pokemon Go does. But his daughter played it, and the woman who found him, he had gone across state lines somehow, the guy who had Alzheimer's. So they somehow were able to use that app to find him. But I can't, like when the story was over, I went, wow, that's miraculous. But I can't figure out how exactly that went down.
Woman playing Pokemon Go finds missing man with dementia. Is that it?
That's the one, yeah. Did that just happen like Sunday or Monday?
4 days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I played Pokemon Go a couple of times because it was fun walking down Michigan Avenue finding the little things, and then
I got cars almost hit you.
No, come on. No. I was a responsible Pokemon Go player and it was stupid.
Yeah. Right.
So I played it for like a minute on the sidewalk. I was not running into people, but it just really kind of was not fun anymore.
But you went from 0 to 60. I mean, no one ever heard of it, and then it was
all
consuming.
That's how I roll.
I know.
That's totally how I roll.
You're like, this is the greatest thing ever. And then
and
a
then
day
I
later,
burn
how
out.
You doing? Ugh, stupid idiot thing. I don't. Who knows?
Bill, I do that. Although Candy Crush has still been in my wheelhouse for quite some time, yeah. But I only play it maybe once a week, maybe.
Yeah,
it used
better.
To be hours.
I know.
Before we get to the Pokemon Go missing man, Eric knows about the silver alert, which honestly I knew nothing about until yesterday. Eric, you were aware of this?
Yes, I'm aware of it. Hi, Bill. Hi, Wendy, by the way. About 20-some years ago, there was a Chicago dentist, a prominent dentist, Dr. Jack Sarnat, and he went missing in action. He had dementia, and he went just got in his car and went for a drive. He was missing for about 2 weeks, and they were frantically looking for him, and his body was discovered frozen in a car at about 17100 South I-57 on a frontage road. He just got lost, and they assumed that he got on this frontage road thinking that it led to an expressway ramp, and it didn't, and he just kind of drove into a ditch, and it wasn't a very well-traveled road, and then finally, I don't know who found him, but he was literally frozen to death in his car.
Horrible.
He was found 50 feet from his car, it says, and suffered from a heart condition.
Oh, no.
80-year-old, newly retired dentist. That's really terrible. Dr. Jack Sarnat, whom you mentioned.
Wow.
So that's how the silver alert was started?
I don't know if that's what actually started the silver alert, but that was a very prominent case when he went missing, and they just decided, you know, instead of, you know, along with an amber alert, we should have a silver alert. So when elderly people who have Alzheimer's or dementia kind of go missing in action, it puts people on the prowl for them, so to speak.
Great idea.
I've got a 94-year-old mother, you know, who I'm responsible for, so I can understand why they have these alerts in progress, just in case somebody wanders away or drives away.
Right.
Well, there needs to be an ad campaign or something, because I have to be honest with you, I felt really stupid being completely unaware of a silver alert that's been going since 2016. So we need to get it out there.
I agree.
Well, I think it's been out there, Wendy.
Have you heard of it?
Of course.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. I feel really foolish. Eric, thank you very much for calling.
I know, but they never put them out there. I've never seen one on the road, though. I really haven't.
All right, well, my son said he has seen now three of them in the last month. I saw my first one yesterday, and I try to be really plugged in with what's going on, and like I said, I thought it was a typo because there was a silver Equinox that was missing.
But don't they have, there's a color coding, there's a bunch of alerts that are different color coded, correct?
Yeah, there's a gold alert for people with disabilities that are missing.
Well, see, now, I don't know anything about that, you guys.
Yeah,
I don't think they get the play that the Amber Alert, you know, when a child is missing, they really jump to get that word out. And I think with the other ones, they hold back a little bit.
But they
if it's an Amber Alert, that lends itself to criminal activity, someone being taken.
Right.
If it's a silver alert, someone's wandered off and
it's scary.
Well, it's still the same, but it's not the same as someone being kidnapped.
Yeah.
True. Why don't they call it a senior alert? Be a lot easier to know what it is.
Senior moment. I have enough of those throughout the day.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hmm.
All right. Well, That's what it is. I just wanted to throw it out there. If you see a silver alert and then you happen to see the car, I don't know, call the authorities.
Yeah, yeah.
They probably aren't dangerous, but
well,
you never know.
You don't know, right.
And then the Pokemon Go, we'll explore that when we come back.
Yeah, all right, stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
How fun is that?
That sounds like a good time.
Although,
whiskey and chocolate.
That'd be
an Uber is also in
there. That'd be a weird gift from my kids.
Well, but they know that it would pay off. They know that you would enjoy it.
And I'd be nice to them because I'm nicer when I'm drunk.
Yeah.
All right. It's Bill. It's Wendy. It's WGN Radio, 720 AM. We will be on the stream at noon. We hope you join us. You can find us on the app. Just go to Extra Stream. There's also a link on our Facebook page. And we're on Instagram. Can I just tell you
We're on Instagram now.
Look for at Bill Wendy Show. No ampersand.
No time for an ampersand.
You had mentioned a story that you saw in the news. This happened about 4 days ago. An 83-year-old man with dementia was reunited with his family this past Friday.
Yeah.
And Pokemon Go is what we owe this to.
And forgive me for not being able to understand this, because it's a great story. They couldn't find this guy, and through Pokemon Go they did. But when I watched the story, I went, oh, that's fantastic, but I couldn't figure out how it happened.
It's not how you think, but I will
it's
tell
not?
You.
All right.
The man who went missing, the 83-year-old's name, was Homer Howard.
Yeah.
Homer?
Yeah.
He was discovered a state away from his hometown of Maynesville, Ohio.
Wow.
By a woman named Allison Hines. Hines just so happened to be in Kenny Shields Park in Covington, Kentucky, on the right time on Friday morning. The park is a daily destination for her because it's designation as a Pokestop.
What does that mean?
It means it's a real-life location with in-game supplies for the video game. If you find a Pokestop, you can reload your ammunition and get things. When you have the app open and you wander around and you find a Pokestop, you get, like, your health is better. You just need that to play the game.
For your character's health is better.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Not your
personally. General health is better.
Right. So, wow, I don't know how old this woman is, but she goes to play. She goes
every
to
day.
This Pokestop every day. This Pokemon swept the nation in the summer of 2016.
Yeah.
Flash forward now, 2018, the spring of 2018. I don't care about it at all, but this woman.
That's sad.
Allison Hines still plays it. On Friday, Hines came across a stranger who seemed to be in need of help. Hines passed the elderly man waving due to his Navy baseball cap.
Yeah.
Hines herself is a Navy veteran, so she waved. I gotta know how old she is. She says, as I turned the corner, everything in my being said, stop, turn this car around and go check on him. So she went back. She spoke to the man who told her his name, Homer Howard.
Yeah.
But he was very surprised to find out that he wasn't even in his home state anymore.
Oh,
he must
that's
have asked
scary.
Where he was. How terribly scary.
Horrible. Yeah.
I said, do you know you're in Kentucky? And he didn't know
that. He didn't know
that.
He was in Kentucky. He drove there or he walked there?
Does it say? It says Maynesville is 30 miles northeast of Covington, and it's still unclear how Howard made his way so far south after being reported missing by his daughters.
Could he have walked 30 miles? I guess he could have. That's a long walk.
Lots of thoughts went through my mind. Richardson said, I just had to stop them. I just had to keep hoping. Tammy Richardson is one of his daughters because mm-hmm. they reported him missing 24 hours earlier. Mm-hmm. Howard returned home to his daughters on Friday, and Allison Hines said she hopes she can take him to dinner soon. I'm very grateful for Pokemon Go, she said. My goodness, what I loved about it is when I played it, it got me out into the community. It's a social game, and today it saved a man's life.
All right, it did.
But it's not he showed up in the game. That's what I think.
See,
when I hear the story.
Right. When they talked about the story, that's what I was trying to figure out is did his daughter and this other woman somehow connect through this game and they were able to track him down that way?
No, he happened to be near a Pokestop, and this woman who's old, she's older than I am, and she's been playing Pokemon for
every
2 years.
Wow.
Well, at least she gets out and exercises and does stuff and meets people. And
in this case, save the man's life, we believe.
It's a pretty nice story.
Right.
I guess there are some people who still play Pokemon Go.
Oh, sure.
Mason?
Hello.
Hello.
You're still playing it, Mason?
I play this game every day. Yeah, they actually reward you for playing it every day.
What sort of rewards do you get?
Do you get money?
Not in-game rewards. Those kind. There are people who are all over the world that will charge real money to catch things that maybe you can't catch. There are regional things you can get in one part of the country and you know, not in the other. Other parts of the world, there are people who say, for $20, I'll catch you a thing over here. But it does get you out. It gets you active. Oh. And that's probably what this woman does. She, yeah. You do have to, excuse me, you do have to hit real world points to collaborate with other people who are out playing this game. And it has been a very cool social moment for me. My whole family plays this game, and we've connected with a lot of people who have a similar interest. And in this story is pretty great because we do walk around parks and we see people who, you know, you don't know. They don't know what you're doing. They're looking at you like a bunch of weirdos are on your phone. You know what I mean? We are talking. And it's a social game.
I was just telling Bill off the air, I make fun of it just because I'm not interested in it anymore. But my kids used to go out every night, and typically they fight. So it was nice to see them, two teenage boys, walking around the neighborhood trying to catch Poke Monsters.
Yeah, and it is kind of cool to meet other people who have the similar interests.
So, Mason, when you're walking somewhere and you just see somebody on their phone, how are you able to determine that they're playing the game as opposed to just using their phone normally? What's the designation that you know?
If you pull up to an area and you're like the only two cars in the parking lot, and you're like, "Hey, are you here for this?" You just kind of look over, and they're right. Looking at their phone, and you kind of get the vibe that you're doing the same thing. But there are little communities online on Facebook and on different chat apps that will collaborate. Go, hey, there's a thing here. It starts in an hour. If you're in, let's all meet up. You know what I mean?
See, now I want to offer you and all the people who play Pokemon a sincere apology because I sounded judgmental, and I
right.
shouldn't be, because who is it hurting? Mason just said
right.
your whole family's involved. That's like me going to walk the dog. What's the difference?
Right. Mason, Wendy and I missed the day when if you saw a stranger in a forest preserve, you knew your days were numbered. We missed those days.
Or it was going to be a good time.
Still a possibility, still something you should be worried about.
All right. That's valid.
Well, I'm sorry to cast judgment out there. I whine about people judging others, and I just did it, and I take it back and have fun.
Don't even worry about it. Thank you. As an adult gamer, we're used to it.
Well, thanks, Mason. Have a good rest
have
of the
a
week.
Good one.
Take care.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mason. He said, I love the show.
Oh, is that what
or,
he said?
I love Bill. I hate Wendy.
Oh,
that's
he was going to say that.
What he
that's
was
crazy.
Say.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got news, and then our friend Dane comes by, and we'll chat about food. Stay here, Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And Dane Neal pops in each and every other Wednesday.
Pop in. It's difficult. I could skip in. I could drop in. I could rappel in, right?
Stop,
pick
drop,
the
and
means.
Roll.
Whichever you're most comfortable with.
Well, I was always a big fan, just as you are, Bill, you know, pop culture food. You know, Pop-Tart was
yes.
one of my favorites. So that's my homage.
Oh.
I pop in.
Very nice of you. Very nice of you.
And you've brought a celebrity chef with you, an icon here in Chicago.
A legend, not only here in Chicago, but around the world. You know him, obviously, from River Roast, you know, Cafe Spiaggia. He's a James Beard Award winning chef, ambassador globally for the United States and its queen, specifically of Chicago as well, as the food world converges here for the James Beard Awards here to kind of make sense of it, kind of share some of the events, is Chef Tony Montuano. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Nice to see you, Tony.
Great to be here.
This is a big week.
It's coming up, and
yeah.
It is the entire food world of the entire United States converging on Chicago. And what Chicago does is incomparable. Like,
yeah.
They used to be in New York, the awards,
yeah.
And now that they're here, I don't think they'll ever leave because we treat them so nice.
Is that the kind of thing, too? To hear, it's one thing to get, I remember doing interviews around the country 10 years ago, and I'd have to make a case for Chicago. You know, San Francisco, sure, New York, but it's great. Now we've been established as, you know, one of, if not the great restaurant city. You've got New York, you've got Chicago. But as we've had the beer, is it hard? We feel like we've got to maintain, right? We've got to keep it up. You don't want to let a drop-off happen.
Got to keep it up, and, you know, We have the perfect venue for the awards in the Lyric Opera House, and I mean, yeah, it keeps the bar raised for all of us, and we keep striving to do more.
Will Jesus Christ of Jesus Christ Superstar be there?
Spirit.
It's possible.
Or Judas.
We'll keep an eye out for it.
It's always cool, because if you didn't order enough wine, that guy.
There you go.
Boy, is he good. So put it in perspective.
That's an important point, Bill.
Put it in perspective for people who are not familiar with the James Beard Award. These are the Academy Awards of the food industry here in town, right?
It's like a red carpet walk and reporters and paparazzi, and you really feel like I'm not just you know, a cook working every night. It actually feels like people are paying attention to you, and it's pretty special. It's a special moment.
It's one of the few awards in any industry or whatever vocation you have that if you are able to win on that night for the rest of your life, every single time that you are introduced, it will be as – there's not very many awards like that that have that kind of impact on your career.
Right. Yeah,
that's exactly the way it is. And I won my award in 2005, so, but still to this day, as you did today.
It's in the introduction.
Yeah. It's great. So it's the award you want as a chef.
Is there a feeling like when you do win the award, did you say, all this has led to this moment, and I've chosen the right path. I'm obviously doing something right to have won this award.
Did I say that in my speech?
Yeah. Did you say in your speech? No, I would have.
You had to send a C-mom letter.
But in your head, you're going, this, look,
yeah,
it paid
really,
off.
It
right?
validates you for sure. Yeah. And all, I mean, amongst your peers. And, you know, now it's like I've been doing this for 30-some years. So now there's that next generation of great chefs, and they look up to you because you won a Beard Award. So it carries on. It keeps giving.
It probably helped that Spiaggia and you won a James Beard Award, because wasn't Mick Jagger just there? Were you there the night Mick was at Spiaggia?
Yeah, so Mick, incredible Mick fashion, we have a new dish on the menu that's made with rabbit, and he ordered it by saying, I'll have the bunny.
when I mentioned that the Chef Matsuno, Tony, is a great ambassador of the world when it comes to food in Chicago, it is, like he said, well, you know, Mick, because it is a regular occurrence, whether it's the, you know, obviously the Obamas were from here, but that was their favorite place. And then, like, go over a couple of the people. I mean, it is amazing the people that make it to your place when they make it to Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, like last night, Bastian, I'm not going to say his last name right, but Schweinsteiger, is that right? The soccer guy?
Oh, yeah. I think you said it pretty close. If it's not right, you missed it by a half a syllable.
The soccer guy. That's what we say here in Chicago.
When you're close, you just say a soccer guy.
A world-famous soccer player. Yeah. I referred to him as a soccer guy. And his wife, Anna Ivanovich, who was at one time number one tennis, female tennis player in the world. They were both there last night, for example, and incredibly nice, like their third time there. So.
You know, like Paul McCartney just shows up.
Right.
It's so cool to have people that are just, you know, world famous and amazing at what they do, love what it is that you're doing as well. And
it's the bunny. They love the bunny.
Love the bunny.
How did he like? Did he strut in? Does he have like? Do you have intro music when people show up? Like
that's a really good idea. But after all, it's just dinner, so hopefully they're...
But there's got to be a buzz in the room when somebody of renown comes in. And do you get a little nervous when they come in? You want everything to be great, don't you?
I mean, I feel pretty confident. I mean, Executive Chef Joe Flam, who just won Top Chef Season 15, is so talented. I have so much confidence in his ability, and I know the food is going to be incredible. So it's just a matter of me being like ambassador and like welcoming people. You know, when the Obamas, when they won the first time in 2008 and they celebrated with us that year, it was like the whole place like buzzing. I mean, like it was incredible. Like,
right.
I mean, I don't know how so many people knew that he was there, but when he left, it was like a crowd. But of course, you know, people have cell phones now. So.
Right.
Well, you think about this, see an ambassador and also on the athletic side as well. So Joe Flam, he threw out the first pitch at the Sox game on Sunday.
He did.
I'm sure he asked you for a lot of advice. I'm sure you were there like kind of, you know, kind of giving him some confidence and things like that. People are excited. It's not going to be for a few months, but, you know, that whole Wrigley area has been, you know, invigorated, and you're going to add to that. You're doing a concept with Joe Madden coming up later this summer.
Yeah, we're finishing up the design. Hopefully we begin construction in a few months, and we'll be open by next spring training, and I mean we'll be celebrating a World Series victory at that point. But so it's been great to work with Joe, getting to know Joe. He's going to be doing every post game interview from the second floor of the restaurant. It's going to be right on the corner of Waveland and Clark, and it's been one of the highlights of my career, getting to know him and working with him.
I just read today he's the oldest manager in baseball, which shocked me.
He is?
Yeah. He doesn't seem old at all.
Sparky Anderson retired a few years back.
But when we were kids, all the managers were old guys, really old guys. He just seems so young-oriented, doesn't he?
You would never guess that he's 64, maybe.
Yeah.
And he just seems like the coolest 64-year-old guy you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I
more
agree.
Proof to don't act your age.
Right. Right.
Phil lives by that,
Never truer word spoken. And I know he's got this incredible appreciation of food, right? I've heard him talk about it in the past.
Food and wine.
Yeah.
And wine is going to be a big focus. And you think, like, well, you're going to a baseball game. Do you really think wine will sell? But, I mean, I think there has to be an alternative to, I mean, I love hot dogs, don't get me wrong, but there has to be an alternative to a beer and a hot dog. And so I think that's what we're going to offer there. And a lot of the places that are opening now in the Hotel Zachary are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And so it's just a matter of, like, Joe's going to have a private label wine. You know, that's only going to be available at that restaurant, our restaurant. So
that's incredible. Yeah. See, didn't he say it was like the highest praise I think that he could offer was that was a great honor for him. So a huge Cubs fan as well. People who are fans of food are going to be here. Your other place, Wrigley, won't be ready for a while. Got to have some patience there. But you've got some ways and some things that are going on for, you know, right before the beard celebration where people can get involved in some of those events that are happening leading up to the awards.
Yeah, so at our restaurant, River Roast, Chef John Hogan and I, we will feature the Blues, and there'll be like a little pregame party on Sunday in the afternoon, and it'll be live blues, like all the best blues musicians, and we're inviting all the people that are in town to come and join us, and then we have shuttle buses, trolleys to Chef's Night Out, which is the big event, which this year is at Theater on the Lake there at Fullerton and Lakeshore, which is, I can't wait to see it, because that's what a great place to showcase Chicago.
Yep.
Perfect. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll pick this up in just a moment if you'd like to jump in. We're easier to reach at 312-981-7200. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Dane Neal is here. I was listening to your show on Saturday. It's on from 2 to 4 on this very radio station. And we're talking about the James Beard Awards. And what do you have for us now?
Well, Wendy, thank you. So we've got, you know, the James Beard Awards are coming, the Food World Converging. This is going to be happening next weekend. Before we went to the break, we've got Chef Tony Montuano in studio. He was talking about, he's going to be involved in so many of the different events, obviously. A past winner is that River Roast is doing kind of a pregame party for Chef's Night Out, which is kind of the fun, let your hair down night that happens before the awards. And so, Tony, give information how people can come there and celebrate with you.
Yeah, I mean, River Roast, we're cranking it up a little on the early side, but you know, from there we go over to the big party, which is at Theater on the Lake, which is the actual Chef's Night Out. So come on in. I mean, hear some live blues, hang with some great chefs, and some of us are actually nice people.
And you don't have to be in the industry to come to these events. What about the awards itself? Do you have to be in the industry to attend the awards or not?
You have to have $500
That's
in a tuxedo.
In a tuxedo.
I don't have either, but let me see what I can put together.
Yeah, and this one, for those people that sometimes for black tie events, you think you can just kind of like skate by with, you know, maybe a Miami Vice t-shirt, sport coat. Look, no.
No.
It doesn't work.
Do you think Frances McDormand will win? She's crazy.
Well, you know, you can't argue with that outfit.
We'll see what happens.
A lot of things are going to be happening throughout the week beforehand. And again, the restaurant community in Chicago is so supportive, communally supportive on so many different things and causes. And coming up is the James Beard Foundation Eats Week, and Choose Chicago is participating to help support this. And on the line with us, we've got Alexa Gallagher. She's the manager of strategic partnerships for Choose Chicago. Alexa, welcome to WGN.
Thank you. Good morning. How are you?
So, Alexa, let's talk about it. You know, not everybody can attend. Not everybody has a tuxedo. But there are so many people. I think everybody would be included in kind of the food fan category, and they can participate with Eats Week. Talk about it.
Absolutely. So, James Beard Eats Week is in its fourth year. So it's essentially 11 days of dining that are devoted directly to the legacy of James Beard himself. So we have about over 130 restaurants who have created designated menus or dishes that are kind of an ode to James Beard. So between Friday, April 27th and Monday, May 7th, you can visit any one of these restaurants and experience their sweet and savory dishes that they're offering.
I think this is great. Talk a little bit about, I know people can participate by buying the dishes that are available at those specific restaurants, so we'll definitely have the link for Choose Chicago. But talk about Choose Chicago, like what it is that you guys, you're part of the mayor's office, correct?
So we're actually a separate entity. So Chew Chicago serves as the official destination marketing organization for the city of Chicago. So we serve as kind of a resource for visitors and locals, both internationally and domestically, to just kind of bring the awareness of all the exciting things happening in Chicago, what to do when you're planning a trip to Chicago, or if you're a local, what's going on in the weekend, what festivals are coming up, things like that.
Alexa, just I want to go on record as saying I'm embarrassed that Dane got that wrong. Just so you know, we're all a little embarrassed for him.
I'm embarrassed myself. I'm sorry and I apologize.
If you love food, this is like the best period for Chicago of the year, isn't it? This is just an amazing week, a week and a half, isn't it?
Definitely. We just wrapped up Chicago Restaurant Week in January into February, followed by Cedar Week, where we extended Restaurant Week. And this is kind of just the next progression of culinary events. So it's currently in its fourth year. We're very excited. We continue to have a growing number of restaurants participate every year. So it's very exciting to keep the culinary buzz going year-round.
Well, talk about how it supports. I know it's going to go to a good cause. Talk a little bit about where all those extra dollars and support are going to go.
Sure. So the James Beard Foundation has an exceptional scholarship program that they operate year-round. In partnership with the James Beard Foundation, both Chew Chicago and the Illinois Restaurant Association developed this James Beard Eats Week Scholarship Fund. So each participating restaurant of James Beard Eats Week submits a $100 donation in addition to their participation. And at the end of the program, we work with the foundation to identify a Chicago-based culinary student and offer them a scholarship to one of the culinary schools in Chicago.
That sounds great. How do people get involved as far as get information from Chew Chicago? Do you have a website where you've got all the things listed, not only for James Beard Eats Weeks, but all the other events that you guys are supporting?
We do. So we have a dedicated website to everything James Beard related. The website is choosechicago.com/JBS. And there's information about the award ceremony. You can view all of the listings of participating restaurants, as well as the dishes or menus they'll be serving. And then, as you alluded to earlier, we have a number of public-facing events that are happening in the days leading up to the awards, where people can view those as well and purchase tickets.
Alexa, what's the total of the restaurants participating? Do you know that offhand?
Yes, we have about 138 this year.
That's tremendous. Yeah. That's great.
It definitely qualifies as over 130. That is accurate. I appreciate that.
Very good. Very good.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Alexa. Look forward to celebrating, participating, and enjoying Eats Week with you this next week, and we'll have a link up on the site.
Great. Thank you so much.
A couple things, Tony. While we have you, I'm curious, what's the latest concept in town? Is there a big trend food-wise that has all of a sudden hit in the last few weeks or months?
And why hasn't Pirate caught on?
Why hasn't Pirate caught on?
What do you mean, Pirate?
What's Pirate?
Like a pirate-themed restaurant.
Oh, a lot of rum, I guess.
Yeah.
Wenches.
Yeah.
Hearth cooking, like live fire cooking. Like, there isn't a restaurant being built today without a wood-burning grill, a wood-burning oven, a wood-burning rotisserie, and not to toot my own horn, but beep, beep, we've been cooking that way at Spiaggia for 30-some years. But, yeah, live fire is the big trend right now.
Do you
now.
Think it's because it's so pleasing to the eye, or what do you think it is about that makes us all just swoon when we see that?
I think it adds, I mean, yeah, it's pleasing to see, but it also, it adds flavor, like a level of flavor that you can't get without that. I mean,
yeah.
You have to have that fire and that smoke, and, you know, everyone's trying to have more flavorful food, but you know, this is a way of making your food super flavorful without adding like butter or cream or fat or something ridiculous or bacon. You know?
What's the deal with the fried egg on a burger? I'm sorry. I would take the fried egg off and eat the fried egg because I love eggs. Yeah. I don't want it on my burger. What's the craze with that?
I think it's a stupid idea as well.
Really?
And I would never, ever serve a burger with an egg on it. I don't get it. Right? It's like it's lost, too. You eat it. It's like it's
two separate things. Yeah. But, you know, I love a good fried egg, but I don't need it on my burger.
I agree.
All right. Good
when
to
it,
know.
When it comes to the color scene, Tony,
put that down that Tony and I have the same views
totally
on the fried egg on a burger.
I totally agree.
Concur would be the thing we would say. One of the biggest stars of the color scene here in Chicago, and of course you draw so many great celebrities. Even that soccer guy came and ate there recently.
The world's most famous soccer guy.
He's right. Ubiquitous with just the word soccer.
Hey, none of us knew
no.
either. Well, so
you can't be up on the world's famous people, right?
Come on.
But when Beard Week comes, it does draw certain, not only food people, but everyone else. Like, are you looking forward to seeing anybody? Or who do you get to see that you're really excited about that you don't see all the time?
you know, my friends that, you know, like Missy Robbins, who was executive chef at Spiaggia 10 years ago and now has a very successful restaurant in Williamsburg in Brooklyn, like, I'll be able to hang with her, you know. So it's those kind of, those are friends that I really look forward to hanging out with more than anything else.
Not Leila Ali?
No.
That's Muhammad Ali's daughter, right?
I love her.
Yes. She's in a restaurant?
No, she was just on the I went to talk to her on the red carpet last year. Because sometimes there are people that aren't necessarily even food people that come in specifically for this.
Right, yeah. And are you seeing a lot of this? Are people in the food industry in Chicago, you mentioned just one, but are there a lot that are branching out into other cities and bringing the flavor of Chicago to a whole different city?
Yeah, not that much.
No? They stay here?
I mean, Chicago is a great city, and you know what we have that New York or San Francisco doesn't have is we have affordable living for cooks and waiters and things. Like, you're in New York, you have to live in wherever and bus into Manhattan. So I think we have that over other cities. Is like we have a livable city, a walkable city.
Yep. Good to see you again, Tony. Thanks so much for coming. I know this is going to be a great week for you and for everybody in the food business. Dane, appreciate it as always. Thanks you so much.
Yep.
Thanks, Tony.
And again, if you're people welcome. Want to know more about this, what's their best bet, Dane?
I would say, Tony, the website for River Roast would be one for sure.
Yep.
Which is?
yep.com.
Yep.com.
We'll have it listed. I think it's probably riverroastchicago.com.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Dane.
Yep, so if there's a famous soccer player out there trying to find it on the internet, it's yep.com.
That's what you say. And then also, you know, and then we'll have the website for Choose Chicago as well to see those other 138 places that are available.
Great. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. We'll take a quick break, then some news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Kim. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And earlier in the show, I was talking about driving down I-88, picking up my son Michael at College of DuPage, and saw the overhead warning sign that said silver alert, and I had never heard of that before. And then it went on to say a silver Chevy Equinox with license plate number, and I thought it was a mistake. I thought it was an amber alert, they maybe juxtaposed the silver car and the silver alert. But lo and behold, we found out that there is something called a silver alert. And on the line with us right now, Craig Burge with the Illinois State Police. And I guess there is a silver alert that I knew nothing about, Craig. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having me on.
Well, there is a... I just want to say that I feel very ignorant that I didn't know what it was. My 18-year-old son had to explain it to me, but then I didn't feel so bad because Bill didn't know what it was either. This has not been publicized enough. Tell us what a silver alert is.
Well, I hope to get the information out to loads of people that we can. It's still kind of in its infancy, but a silver search is basically a collaboration of a bunch of different agencies that get together, spearheaded by the Illinois Alzheimer's Association, and we utilize the resources that are available to us, such as the road boards that you saw, such as the lottery terminals that are around, law enforcement resources. We utilize all of those and come together when we have somebody with Alzheimer's or dementia that goes missing. And especially when they're in a vehicle and they're on our interstates, we want the people's eyes and ears that are driving down those interstates, that are having their cell phones out, that they can see the vehicle that we're looking for and report that to law enforcement. These people have endangerments that maybe to cause a problem for them or for others, and we want to make sure that we find them as quickly and as efficiently as we can.
So, Craig, the qualification, if I'm understanding this right, is that they must have either Alzheimer's or some form of dementia. That's the qualifier here?
Yeah, we utilize the term silver to include those people that have Alzheimer's or dementia.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't mean those are the only type of people that we can look for or the only type of people that have endangerments.
Yeah.
We use advisories all the time for people with various type of disabilities and disorders. But when you're talking silver, we're specifically talking about those crowd of people with Alzheimer's and dementia.
And just to know that it exists, I feel better now. The amber alerts, as we spoke about earlier, are a much more urgent thing because, you know, a car could be leaving. They could be with someone very dangerous, that, of course, involving children. But you think about if you have an aging parent and they're missing for a while, I can't even imagine how you'd feel. So when you see a silver alert or a silver search, I think the actual sign said silver alert.
Yeah.
And it lists the car that this person was reported last driving, and who knows, you may see them pulled over on the side of the road, you know, wondering where they are and how they got there. What do we do if we find this car that's been alerted?
Well, a great question. You can flag down law enforcement. You can contact 911. This information is going to be broadcast on a large regional basis. So any law enforcement contact that you can make right then and there will allow us to respond to that incident. And it's not just people that are in vehicles. It could be somebody that you see at a shopping mall or a supermarket or anywhere that you're out. Just keep your eyes and ears open. If you see information that law enforcement is looking for somebody, please call 911 and let us know, what you see and where you're at, and we can respond accordingly.
And Craig, I'm guessing you've had some success stories with the Silver Alerts, right?
Sure.
Good.
Our very first one, we recovered them based upon the road boards, based upon the electronic digital boards that are over our interstates. And somebody saw them as they were driving, followed that person until law enforcement could respond, properly pull that person over, and return that person home safely to their family.
Very good.
And this started in 2016. The information I found is it's a new statewide alert system. It was set here in Illinois in January of 2016. And now we join, 41 other states with these Silver Alerts?
Yeah, and each state handles their alerting process differently. What I want to say is it's very unique that Illinois comes together with all the agencies that it does, from the broadcasters to the lottery to the Alzheimer's Association to the Illinois Department of Transportation and the AARP, and all of these agencies get together, and we meet regularly to discuss how we can improve the technologies and utilize more and more resources that are out there for this aging population that we have. And it's going to continue to get worse. And if we can continue to stay on top of it, we feel like we can better this in the future.
I'm curious, Craig, you said that Illinois has joined 41 other states. I know you don't want to badmouth other states, but why would a state not have something like this? If it's available, why would they go against it and not use it?
Well, I know the fear has always been the desensitization of the public. I mean, Amber Alerts, involve a child abduction. It involves a crime. And thank goodness we don't have very many of those. So I think some of the apprehension is about not overusing the system and not having something out there every single day. But we found that's not necessarily the case. Law enforcement uses this resource only when they need it, only when they need that broad push out of information to a large regional basis. So we don't see it being overused at all.
Right.
Well, I guess the big question, first of all, Craig Burge on the line with us, the Silver Search Coordinator for the Illinois State Police. And since I was unaware of the Silver Alerts and Bill was, we thought we'd put it out here today so you could be aware of it. The big question is, was that person who was missing yesterday found?
Which one?
This was, I guess there could have been several.
Yeah. The one that you're referring to that you saw on the road boards, yes, they were recovered safely by law enforcement.
Oh, good.
That's good to know. We need to look out for each other, so I think this is a great idea. I'm just glad we could publicize it because I feel really ignorant that I did not know what it meant. So good work, Craig. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me on, and if anybody has any questions, they could go to the Silver Search Illinois website.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Craig.
Your time.
Thank you.
The Silver Alert.
Yeah, a great idea.
We have to watch out for one another. Because imagine it's your aging parent or grandparent. I couldn't sleep.
Right. All right, let's do this. We'll take
if I had a cat, I couldn't sleep
right.
If the cat didn't come
home.
I know.
A quick break and then more show. And then Wendy and I are headed toward the internet, the web, for the bonus hour. Although today the bonus hour is a slightly reduced bonus hour. It's just 30 minutes today because of White Sox baseball.
I forgot all about
yeah,
that.
Yeah. All right,
we should have
here.
A dummy alert for us.
It's been talked about.
Really?
Yeah, it's been discussed.
I feel bad now.
More in a moment. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder with you for the next 10 minutes, and then we will head to the stream for a shortened version of the bonus hour. We will pack 60 minutes of excitement into a 30-minute box.
We need the White Sox to win.
Boy, they keep coming close, don't they? I mean, another one-run loss.
They'll get there.
I'm concerned about what's going on in England, Wendy. On Monday, we got a new prince. All of England was in an uproar, very, very excited over the news that Prince William and Princess Kate had another child, their third. Now, here we are 2 days later, and the baby is still without a name.
They're not telling anybody
the name.
They're not releasing it.
Because it's a silly name. They know that people will laugh at the name.
God, so they don't want to share it with anybody. Silly name.
See, I've heard of that in the Jewish religion. A lot of times people don't say what the baby's name is, especially if it's a boy, until they've had their bris.
Oh,
so, like,
really?
You know, the parents will know the name, but they don't announce it to the public until, you
How
know.
How old is typically the...
A week. Seven
within
days.
A week.
That makes sense.
So at the baby's bris, Kim, you think they'll
Yeah, I'm sure this baby had a bris. It'll be the big announcement
is
over
that where
lots
brisket
of bagels.
Comes from,
yeah,
by the way?
Yeah, brisket comes from there.
I love brisket.
Yeah.
I think it's fine that they don't. It just makes people more excited about it. And this is their third one, so I got to be honest with you. By the third kid, usually it's not that exciting. So yeah, they just want you to hold and wait with bated breath for what will they name it? Hello.
Well, that's they only they have a choice, it. Though. It's like Arthur, George.
It's
you
traditional
know, they
names,
have a lot
right?
of names, yeah.
There's, they can't go with anything too modern day, too flashy, right?
No. I don't
Kanye.
Think Logan.
You think it'll be Kanye?
I think
Wendy?
It should be Kanye. Wouldn't that be a hoot?
It would be a surprise.
Kanye.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would be
well,
shocked
maybe
by that.
They would want to name it, you know, Kanye named his kid Chicago, maybe Buckingham
oh,
might be a good
Buckingham.
One. I love Buckingham. Little Bucky.
Call him Bucky.
Prince Bucky. Kim, I totally like that. We
Wouldn't
should
that
tweet that out.
I don't think there's been a Prince Bucky. Not in England, anyway.
Hello.
I don't
I'm
think.
Bucky.
Yeah,
Bucky, 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 Bucky.
He might have more of a British accent, though.
It might not be oh, good, yeah. though, if Bucky has a lisp. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
in fact.
Because the Brits are a more sensible people. So even though here in the States we would find that charming, in England they would be upset by that, I think.
Remember Bucky Dent?
Yeah.
He was very, very
yeah.
cute.
Yeah.
I yep. like Prince Bucky. I truly do. What if they, come on, who knows? Although I would expect Harry to do something like that.
Yeah, if they let him name the baby. Some parents let the kids name the baby. Every once in a while, you'll hear a story about, yeah, we just said, kids, it's up to you. You name the baby. So let's see what Harry can come up with. Now, I know from experience, because one of our twins, one of our daughters, we didn't name for 3 days because we just, it took us time to think of it and
How
look at her.
Shame on you.
Well, it was an awkward 3 days because we couldn't refer to her as anything for a few days. We would just say the baby. But we had two babies. But one of the babies had a name. But Reese did not have a name yet.
You can't tell what a baby
it just
looks
said
like.
Above her crib in the hospital, it said baby girl. Like Kylie said Kylie left, and the other one said baby girl left. And we told my mom that that's what we were going with. And my mom just got this look on her face like, oh, don't. No, that's what we decided on.
See, I don't feel so bad. That was your mother, and she believed everything out of your
everything.
Mouth. I believe you too, and yeah. I don't know why.
It's fun.
It's not just, fun.
It's a good
when
time.
Will I learn? I
it's his know. Sweet face.
He does have a sweet you, face, Kim, and it just sucks you in, and
Thank
you look so
it
trustworthy.
Does.
Thank you.
You should be a salesman. I'd buy anything
really?
From you.
All
yeah,
right.
and
Maybe
then I'd have buyer's
bit.
Remorse so badly
Constantly.
Afterwards.
Constant buyer's remorse. But it's a strange thing when they're, because we're
Why
so used to-
Why didn't you name Reese? And was Kylie your favorite even back then?
No. It took years before she became our favorite. Here's what it was, is like we had a bunch of girls' names. We didn't know if they were going to be boys or girls. We still don't know, I'll be honest with you. We're like, don't tell me. I want to be surprised. So we wanted to see what they looked like and
yeah,
see if the names looked like them.
All babies look like praying mantises.
Well, that was one of the names for a boy, was praying mantis. But for a girl, people are like, I wouldn't name a daughter that.
No baby looks like what it's going to be in
but
real
Kylie
life.
But looked like a Kylie. Like we go, well, that looks like a Kylie. So we went with Kylie. And Reese, we couldn't figure out we'd look at her from different angles and we'd go, no, that doesn't, no. And then by the third day, we went, enough of this nonsense. We got to name her something.
What were the other names, or don't you want to share?
We were leaning heavily toward Alexandra, but she doesn't look like an Alexandra. We would have called her Alex, but so we made that her middle name.
Did Reese Witherspoon come into play in this?
We saw a Reese Witherspoon movie the night before Terry went into the hospital, so I think it may have a little bit. I think there was some influence.
Kylie, you knew... right away.
As
yeah.
soon as we saw her, we went that
But I mean, you
like,
had that name picked out.
Yeah. Because she's Australian.
While.
It's a very common name
I
in Australia.
I just don't have any time for you anymore.
So we named her that. And the boys' names were all ridiculous. Like, looking back, every name we thought of for a boy, now I'm glad we didn't have boys.
What were they?
I can't remember them. I've kind of just
Bill?
Moved them. Yeah, Bill. We're going to name them both Bill. A twin bill.
Bill 2 and 3.
Right.
Like, you know,
is that silly?
Yeah,
well, actually, surprised. Kim, those are on the list.
I know.
Thing one and thing two were on the list.
He's not kidding. God, Terry put up with so much from you.
For a while, I said to Terry, I go, what about this? Two boys, Spritel and Chim Chim. And she's like, ah, I like Spritel, but Chim Chim's weird. But I was halfway home on that one.
I'm speechless.
You're speechless.
Leave me speechless.
Well, that's my goal. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll find out what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.